All right. Today we're going to go into the book of Acts and correct a lot of errors that are been going around probably 1,800 years of errors. But the book of Acts is so simple. You know, the word is very simple. It's a father-son relationship. It's not three in one. You know, it's interesting when we look at, when I was a Catholic, we were taught the sign of the cross, which is what, Sean?
Father,
Son, Holy Ghost. How many times, and we should all know this, how many times was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit ever used in the word?
One.
Where is that?
In the Mark.
In Matthew 28:19. It's interesting, and he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Did Paul ever say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Did Moses ever say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Did Peter say Father, Son? Did Luke? Did Mark? You know, you just go, James, on and on and on. So we have to say, that's just garbage. We have to get rid of that. And when it was said, it was to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we know, they never did that. So Peter did not ever, in the book of Acts, baptize anybody in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have to set that verse aside. And here's just an example. If you try to use one verse as a doctrine, in which Christianity has attempted to do, it's not Christianity, it's really just the doctrines of men, to bring us into paganism, to bring us into idolatry, to bring us into breaking the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, and thou shalt have no other gods besides me. And we've got, you know, today three gods. Let's go stay in Acts, but I'm going to go to Luke 14:26, just to show you what you could do with one verse. And who was, somebody read 14:26 loud.
If anyone cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, further also even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Hey, that's just great. If anybody cometh unto me and hateth not his father and mother, we're going to make a doctrine out of this. Mm-hmm. It's the doctrine of hate.
Okay.
It's right here in Luke. Mm-hmm. I got a verse.
There's a verse.
Yeah, I got a verse. I got your verse. So, don't ever struggle with verses and things out of context. You look at the whole, and the whole, we're going to look at who Yahushua is in the book of Acts, which is just marvelous. And so by listening to the book of Acts, you just get to hear us over and over. The simplicity of a father and a son is the story. And it's not three in one. It's not the story. I just heard a preacher talking today. And somebody said, well, yeah, the Trinity is not in the Bible, neither is hell. And you're right. But he wasn't agreeing with that. But if it's not in here, it should be a part of us. And so Luther was the same way. Luther said, sola de scripta, I think it was by scripture alone. And did Luther follow that? No, he didn't. In some areas he did, but other areas he did not. Very simply. So everybody's statement of beliefs will say first, we believe the Bible is the only authoritative word of God. And then we believe in one God in three persons. The second verse, the second statement of belief is contradicting their very first statement of beliefs, because what they have is not in there. But we'll get in to see who Yahushua and our Father is in Acts 22. We'll be covering most of Acts today. Chapter 2, verse 22. Sorry.
Can I read it?
No, we're going to do some lesser parts for you. You can follow along. I'm going to read some. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was how many days?
50.
And what that was 7 sevens. And so you're supposed to do, that's 49 days plus one. You know, after Passover, I don't know, or is after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I forget exactly when it started, between one of those, but it's 50 days. The outpouring of Ruach was done. So in verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Yahushua the Nazarene. What?
Man.
A man. Okay, so we're going to see all the identifications of who Yahushua is. A man. Pointed out of who?
God.
Well, why would he say, Yahushua the Nazarene, God, by mighty works and wonders and signs which he did through himself in your midst, just as you yourselves know?
Right.
Well, that's what everybody teaches. So in the very first concept, it says, here is a man, Yahushua, and he did, the man pointed out of Yahweh unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which who did? Yahweh did through him in your midst, just as you also know. The same, marked by the marked out counsel and foreknowledge of Yahweh, given up to the hands of lawless men, suspending you slew. And I love this too. He's telling the truth. Who slew Yahushua?
The Jews.
The Jews. All right? Very simply, that's very unkosher. And everybody will say, well, we slew... Yeah, we. Unkosher. We slew the Jews. We slew Yahushua. No, it just comes right through here. It's going to go over and over and over. The enemy of Paul and Peter in the book of Acts are who?
The Jews.
The Jews. Very simply, the Jews. Whom Yahweh raised up, loosing the pains of death, inasmuch as it was not possible for him to continually held fast by it. All right, so we see the man. Now we go to verse 30 to 33. Being then a prophet, what else is he?
A prophet.
Now, the Creator is not a man, and the Creator is not a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Creator needs prophet who are spokesmen for who?
Yeah.
The Creator, you know. Then being a prophet and knowing that with an oath Yahweh has sworn unto him of the fruit of his loins to seat on his throne. Wait, we're talking about David now. Wait a minute. David, we're talking about David, not Yahushua, but we'll get into a place where Yahushua was a prophet. So this is about David. So David, being a prophet and knowing that with an oath Yahweh has sworn unto him of the fruit of his loins to seat on his throne. Who is Yahushua? He's the fruit of David. With foresight spake he concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned unto Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruptions. The same Yahushua hath Yahweh raised up, whereof all we are witnesses. By the right hand of Yahweh, therefore, having been exalted, also the promise of the Holy Ruach, having received from the Father, he hath poured out this which yourselves do hear and see. So Yahushua actually poured out the Holy Ruach, which is the invisible force, the power that Yahweh prophesied in coming up. All right, so we go now to verse 36. Assuredly, then let all the house of Israel know that both Lord and Christ hath Yahweh made him. So he's now Lord, and he's also Messiah. Yahweh made him. Even the same Yahushua whom ye crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no batting down. So many times with us, we've got to speak the truth,
mm-hmm.
regardless if it's welcomed or not. Now we go to chapter 3, verse 13. And Elijah, you want to read 13 through 15.
The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his servant Yahushua, whom ye indeed delivered up and denied
mm-hmm.
into Pilate's face,
mm-hmm.
when ye had
adjudged
to release him, but ye denied the Holy and the Righteous One, and claimed a man that was a murderer to be granted you, but the princely leader of life he slew, whom Yahweh raised from among the dead, wherefore we are witnesses.
You see, here Yahushua is called a servant. He's Yahweh's servant. And he's also called the princely leader of life. Whom Yahweh awoke, and that's the word egaro, from among the dead, whereof we are also witnesses. I would really recommend everybody go through egaro, which is used about 100 times in the New Testament, and write it in their Bible every place that it's used. Because you're going to see the word raised, and it's not egaro, and other times it is egaro. So this is to awaken. Now we go to verse 22 to 23. This is very important. Moses indeed said, and remember, Peter is telling everybody who this man is. He's Yahushua. Yahweh made him Lord in Christ. He's from the fruit of David. He's a servant. And now we're going to see that he's the prophet. Moses indeed said, a prophet unto you shall Yahweh Elohim raise up from among your brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken, respecting all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be, every soul whatsoever which shall not hearken unto that prophet shall what?
Utterly be destroyed.
Shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Hey, that's John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say, these people shall go to hell.
No.
It says, utterly destroyed. What don't you understand about utterly destroyed? Utterly destroyed means gone. That's it. Shall be utterly destroyed. If you reject Yahushua, then you will be utterly destroyed. No problem. And really what it comes down to with all of this is whether you're going to bow to Yahushua and to Yahweh and do their will or not bow to them. Very simply, because everybody knows if you have a word that you know that he is the person that we're going to bow to, and he is going to have the new kingdom. Now we go to verse 26 of chapter 3. You want to read that, Melania?
Yeah. Unto you, first, Yahweh having raised up his servant, has sent him forth ready to bless you. When ye are turning away each one from your wickedness.
Very good. And so here's a requirement. Turn. What is Yahushua called here? A what?
A servant.
A servant. He's a servant. God, how we got this God, you know, God the Son, God, the, you know, the Holy Ghost, three in one. It was really Yahweh upon earth at this particular time. The problem is, that's not what the word says. It never has said that. Amazing how we go along with it. After that teaching contradicts verse after verse after verse. It contradicts the whole book of Acts. And you still hang on to that, you know, because, oh, no, it's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And you grab your little flag, and here's my doctrine. And I decide, okay, everybody will be held accountable. Now we go to chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. This is the stone set at naught by you, the builders, which became the head of the corner. You know, he's just laying in on these Jews. You slew, you did this, you set it not, and there is in no one else salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven which have been set forth among men in which we must needs be saved. So there's only one Savior, but we have to remember, and this is just common sense, you know, we've done other teachings. If a person has never heard about Yahushua, how can he make him his Savior? He can't. He's never heard the Bible. He's on an island someplace, another country. So how do we know what's going to happen to that person? Keep your finger here and go to Acts 10. I thought this was a great illustration of Peter talking to the house of Cornelius. Verse 34. And this is good for us to reply to people. What happens to those people and the people who were before Christ? You know, there are people before Christ, they can't believe on Christ. Or maybe the Hebrews can believe on the coming Messiah, but they're following the law of Moses. This is a really simple thing. We've got into such a strange denialism, that we have to do these teachings just to get people sobered up, because their eyes have been shut. And it's interesting with all of us, like I was talking to Aaron the other day, you can never open somebody's eyes. They've got to want to open them. And so if somebody's like this, they're not going to see. And you can say, well, if I give them to write this or write this or write this, no. They've got their eyes closed. So many pastors or people like that, they're fine. They got their eyes closed, and when they open their eyes, it's like I heard about an addict. And so if a person is an addict, is addicted to something, unless they want help, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise they think you're going to judge them. So just leave it alone. Then 34, and Peter opening...
14.
Yeah, 10, verse 34. Remember, these
what?
Are the... Acts chapter 10, verse 34, we're in the house of Cornelius, which were who? These were unbelievers. They were not followers of Yahweh, because they were anybody who was not a Jew or a proselyte was outside of the ark of salvation. Except, now here's something, revelation happens. And Peter, opening his mouth, said, of a truth, I find that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him.
Amen.
Two things. Feareth the Creator, if they didn't know his name, and worketh righteousness.
Yeah.
He is accepted. Well, it has to be the way.
Right.
I mean, there's no other way to say, well, you can't be held accountable for something that you didn't know even existed. I'm going to go someplace with that. Oh, the people will keep saying that the works don't matter, and this doesn't matter, and everything else doesn't matter. Well, here's, and this is in the book of Acts. It is, oh, that's where I was going to go. Let's go to, I'm kind of diverting. Acts 10. No, let's, you know, the teaching now is Yahweh loves you no matter what you do. You and no matter what you do, he doesn't love you more, he doesn't love you less, right?
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love, and no matter what you do, makes no difference. Well, let's just see if that's true. Let's look at Dorcas, who Peter raised from the dead. All right?
Where are you?
And chapter 9, actually.
10:9.
Verse 36. I'm kind of going off the course.
Okay.
But this is very important.
9:36.
Now in Joppa there was a certain female disciple by name Tabitha, which being translated means Dorcas, a gazelle. The same was full of what?
Good works.
And aims, which she was...
Alms.
Or alms. Yeah, aims. Alms, which she was doing. Read, Rotherham's footnote on A. Somebody would say, read that. Footnote A.
Not full of what she had done.
Not full of what she had done, but what she was doing. Why does Yahweh preface this about this woman who died, and guess who goes raised from among the dead?
Mm-hmm.
She was. Good works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right? Good works. Listen to Cornelius. Chapter 10, verse 1.
Centurion, same one.
But a certain, same page, 10, verse 1. Don't turn the page just because other people are turning. Chapter 10, verse 1. There you go. But a certain man in Caesarea by name Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian, devout and fearing Yahweh, or God, with all his house, doing many alms unto the people, and supplicating Elohim continually. Are good works following this guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the messenger come to?
Mm-hmm.
To a sinner?
No,
he comes to Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And watch what the messenger says. Let me see here. And continuing in verse 3. Saw in a vision manifestly as it was about the ninth hour of the day, a messenger of Yahweh coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he said, looking steadfastly at him and becoming full of fear, said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms have gone up for a memorial before Yahweh. Well, I thought it didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
I thought nobody's paying any attention.
Mm-hmm. Prayers and alms.
Yeah, prayers and alms. And here was a person who was not a Jew at the time, but he was fearing Yahweh and doing righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it completely contradicts everything that this new age God that people have come up with, that he won't love you anymore and even less. Dorcas was raised from the dead and prefaced that she did good works.
Yeah.
Cornelius had a messenger, good works, and even the messengers came up and said, here's one, I'm approaching you, good works. All right, so if you want that kind of contact, do good works, very simply. Now, we'll go back to, let's see, we got the stone, chapter 4, verse 27. So we got to get rid of this garbage, you know, just that simple. The messengers come up to a wino or a drunkard, right. Hebrew, and say, hey, God loves you no matter what you do, and you're really a low-life son of a gun, and guess what? Go call for Peter, and we're going to do something great here. And the low-life probably would have said,
nah.
Ah.
Sleep on it.
So, you know, 427. So, I want those kind of contacts. I want that kind of a communion with the Father. So I'm going to be in prayer and supplication and doing alms and doing righteousness. And so they can come up and say, good work. Amen. Good and faithful steward. And 27, for there were gathered together of a truth in his city against thy holy, what?
Servant
Jesus, Yahushua. Whom thou hast anointed, and that's making him Christ, hath Herod and Pontius Pilate with them of the nations and people of Israel, and to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel marked out beforehand do come to pass. So there's a servant again. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 30. So we're seeing servant, man, Lord, a prophet. Chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. The Elohim of our fathers has awoken Yahushua, whom ye got into your hands, suspending him upon a tree. Him as princely leader and savior, there it is, princely leader and savior again, hath Yahweh exalted unto his what?
Right
hand, to give repentance unto Israel and remissions of sin. Go to chapter 7, verse 55. And so it's so sad when people electively go into idolatry practices. But they actually go into that because everybody else is there. And so we have to say, I will not bow to religion. And they get very upset when you don't bow because you're called a heretic. Aaron, the prophet Aaron, bowed to Israel when he made them what?
A calf.
A calf of false god. The people wanted a false god. People today want false gods, which have got them. And we say, I will not bow to those false gods. And he said, well, I'll bow to Yahweh and Yahushua, and not to your doctrine of the Trinity, or God the Father, God the Son, and everything else like that. 7 verse 55.
Okay.
All right.
In the middle.
But he being full of the Holy Spirit, looking steadfast. Oh, this is Stephen being stoned. But he being already full of Holy Spirit, looking steadfastly into heaven, saw what?
The glory.
Saw God? No. He saw what?
Glory.
Glory of God. And what else, Elijah?
And Yahushua was standing on the right hand of Yahweh.
Very good. I thought I'd call him daydreaming over there. He was looking at it, too. Yeah, right?
You sneaky. Did you hear that? He's trying to catch you.
I was catching you. You're pulling on something like that. He's not really looking. And so you've got two entities. Here's the glory of Yahweh. You can't see Yahweh.
Yeah.
But you can see his son. Mm-hmm. And Yahushua was standing on the right hand of Yahweh. And he said, lo, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahweh. Yahweh is phenomenal. And so much of the attention of this whole Trinity and stuff is to get rid of Yahweh.
Right.
That's our adversary. Let's look at Yahweh. We're going to divert and go to Revelations. We're going to come back to Acts. To go to Revelations chapter 4. So if you want to look at, that is page 254 in the New Testament. Last book of the Bible.
Yep, I know.
Good. This is such a great chapter. If somebody else, let's try to get a vision of this, of what's going on.
But
you, chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, we're going to read the chapter. And so who would like to read that chapter or part of it? It's a little too long for you guys. Chapter 4. Why don't you, Wendy, read half of chapter 4.
After these things I saw, and lo, a door stood open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will point out to thee the things which must needs come to pass. After these things straightway I came to be in spirit, and lo, a throne stood in heaven, and upon the throne was one sitting. And he that was sitting was like in appearance to a jasper stone and a sardius. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, like in appearance unto an emerald.
So wait a minute. So this is what Stephen might be seeing. So think of that. The glory of Yahweh.
Wow.
Now look at verse 4. Keep
and
on.
Round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments. And upon their heads were crowns of gold. And out of the throne are coming forth lightnings and voices and thunderings. And there are 7 torches of fire burning there before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne is a glassy sea, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne are 4 living creatures, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first living creature is like unto a lion, and the second living creature like unto a calf. And the third living creature hath the face as of a man. And the fourth living creature is like unto an eagle flying. And the 4 living creatures, each one of them, have severally 6 wings, round about and within, full of eyes. And they cease not, day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord Elohim, the Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is coming. I guess I almost read the whole thing.
Go ahead and finish it.
And whensoever the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanksgiving unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto him that liveth unto the ages of ages, the 24 elders will fall down before him that sitteth on the throne, and do homage unto him that liveth unto the ages of ages, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, O Lord, and our God, to receive the glory, the honor, and the power, because thou didst create all things, and by reason of thy will, they were and were created.
There is Yahweh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we're going to see Yahushua. And that's 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Well, I have to tell you the story. I guess better read verse 1. And I saw upon the right hand of him, who's him?
Yahweh,
that was sitting upon the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloosen the seals thereof? I guess Yahweh's not going to do that, is he? He's got it in his hand. And no one was able in heaven or on earth or under the earth to open the scroll or to look therein. And I began to weep much because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Lo, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, here's our Lord again. The root of David, the tribe of Judah, root of David. You know, if he supposedly pre-existed and came down and lived before he was ever born, then none of this makes any difference at all. He's not the line of Judah, and he's not the root of David. And you can say, well, his body is, so what?
Right.
So, absolutely, so what? What difference does that make about anything? That his body is the line of David. And it's the same thing we say, too, that Jesus Christ didn't die because he always existed, and so he didn't die for our sins. His body died for our sins, and he wasn't raised from among the dead. His body was raised from among the dead because he never died, because he went to hell and all these other places. So it's just things after things after things. It takes so much blind faith to believe what the church teaches. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The people have to close their eyes to so many scriptures. But look what happened. The root of David hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. And I saw in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing, showing that it, and this is great with the Rotherham, lamb is neuter. Alright, in the Greek. And so the pronoun has to be what? It. Alright, so everybody else is going to say he. They're just going to change the pronouns when they shouldn't. And it's right. Child, let me ask you this. Is child feminine, the word child in English, feminine, masculine, or neuter?
Neuter.
And so, in Matthew, when they're fleeing from Herod, the angel will say, take it with you. The child. So he's talking about the child, and he's going to be called it. Everybody else will say, we'll change it to he. Every other translation will change. And so what they're doing is they're changing the genders without you knowing it, which is very important to be faithful to the text. So it, standing showing that it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven ruachs of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and at once took it out of the right hand of him that was sitting. And who is him? That's Yahweh. So here's the lamb taking the scroll out of his hand. Great. That's the Father and the Son. Now we go to Acts 26. This is a great situation too. We're going to jump in Acts 26. Go to the back and then we'll come back to the front. And while we do this, this is the Apostle Paul who was Saul. So in Hebrew, the name Saul is Saul, is coming against Christians. Or coming against Yahushua. Yeah, page 146.
She's looking for the
okay,
verse.
26. And we're going to look at verse 12. Very good, Melania. And he's explaining his story. This is very, very important because we're going to see Hebrew is the foundation of Scripture, not Greek. Now, among these things, being on a journey unto Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priest at midday on the road, I saw, O king, from heaven above, the splendor of the sun shining around about me. Boy, that's got to be something.
Yeah.
A light, and them who were with me were journeying, and when we were all falling to the ground, I didn't realize all of them hit the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me, in what language?
In Hebrew.
The Hebrew language. How did Yahushua communicate to Paul? Aramaic?
Nope.
Yeah. No. What does everybody try to do? Well, Jesus spoke Aramaic and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, it just said right here, he's speaking Hebrew.
Hmm.
In the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuted? Think of the Apostle Paul, the Saul going out there. Wow, this is serious business. Because in Rotherham, you're going to see in Acts 1, after Stephen was killed, it says Saul took pleasure in his death.
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't just give it.
Instead of consented, everybody else will say he consented unto his death. That's one thing. You can say, I didn't like to do it, but okay, anyway. Mm-hmm. But when you take pleasure, and the word is, it can be translated to please.
Translate what?
To please. And so I was looking at Rotherham. Is that right? Is that word mean please? I looked it up, yeah.
Wow.
And it's hard for thee against goats to be kicking. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art persecuting, taking men and women to prison, and you're pleased that Stephen's stoning. And you're like, I'm in really deep trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Because he thought he was serving Yahweh. So blindness can do that to religion, and not going by the scriptures, blindness can do that.
I really saw that.
Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for this end have I appointed unto thee to appoint thee an attendant and a witness, both of the things as to which thou hast seen me, and of those as to which I will appear unto thee, rescuing thee from among the people and from among the nations, unto whom I am sending thee to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness unto light, and the authority of Satan unto Yahweh, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them who have been made holy by the faith respecting me. So what a great witness, and he told that over and over and over again. Now we go to Acts chapter 9, verse 60, same book. We're going to see also he's called the Son of God and not God the Son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9:20, guys?
Yeah, chapter 9, verse 20. Straightway in the synagogue, he began proclaiming Yahushua that this is what? The Son of God. Okay, now we go to chapter 13. And Elijah, you read 13. You don't have to look at it. Just look at
chapter
your page.
13.
Chapter 13.
Okay.
Verse 22 and 23.
Okay. And setting him aside, raised up David unto them for king, of whom he also said, bearing witness, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man according to my heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed hath Yahweh, according to promise, brought unto Israel, a Savior, Yahushua.
There it is. So he's the seed again of David.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to verse 38 and 39. Go ahead, Melania. 38 and 39.
Oh,
38
and 39.
Okay. Keep them on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
Pop quiz!
Oh, not that.
I hate pop quizzes. Go ahead, baby.
Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren, that though this man unto you, remission of sins is declared, and from all things which ye could not by the law of Moses, by justified by this man, everyone that believed is justified.
Okay, he's called man how many times? Twice, those two verses.
Mm-hmm.
The man Yahushua, this man. Instead, this God Yahushua,
God man.
Yeah, I mean, or this God man Yahushua, you know, it's just bizarre stuff. 17, verse 21, chapter 17, verse 21. Now, this is really great. I want somebody to read this and follow the order of how he's proclaiming Yahushua to pagans who are the Greeks in Athens. So if somebody wants to read
verse 21.
21 to 31. So if somebody wants to read the 10 verses. Volunteers. Okay.
Now all Athenians and the sojourning foreigners, unto nothing else, were devoting their leisure than to be telling or hearing something newer. And Paul, taking his stand in the midst of the hill of Mars, said, Ye men of Athens, in every way how unusually reverent of the demons ye are, I perceive.
Let me stop there for a minute. Demons is not an evil spirit. A demon is a lesser god. The word demon in Greek is a lesser god than Theos. So Theos was the top god, and Daimon is the lesser god. And so everybody else will translate that word instead of demons, they'll say God. So you have to understand the word demon just means a lesser god. When somebody says they have a demon, they know there's a spiritual force within that person, and that's what the actual Greek word means. And so he kept it true. Instead of saying God, reverent of the gods you are, I perceive, he said demons. That's what the word is. Now go on 23.
For passing through and carefully observing your objects of devotion, I found an altar also in which was inscribed unto an unknown Elohim.
Now, stop right here. That's what we're proclaiming to the world. What is this unknown Elohim's name?
Yahweh.
Not Yahushua, not Jesus. Everybody has fault. They have three gods, and that's not it. We're going to give you the unknown God that you don't know about. Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. Go ahead. What
therefore, not knowing, ye reverence, the same do I declare unto you. the God that made the world and all things that are therein.
Now, wait a minute, too. Just pick this apart. People say Christ is the creator. Mm-hmm. Right? We're going to see God is the creator and Christ is the man.
Mm-hmm.
So start over on this.
24.
The Elohim that made the world and all things that are therein, the same being Lord of heaven and earth, not in handmade shrines doth dwell, nor by human hands is waited upon as thou in want of anything, himself giving unto all life and breath and all things. He made also of one every nation of men to dwell upon all the face of the earth, marking out fitting opportunities in the bounds of their dwelling place, that they might be seeking God, if after all indeed they might feel after him and find him, although in truth he is already not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and are, as even some of your own poets have said, for his offspring also we are. Being then offspring of Yahweh, we ought not to be supposing that unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and device of man, the divine is like. The times of ignorance, therefore, overlooking God as things now are, is charging all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he is about to be judging the habitable earth in righteousness, by a man whom he hath pointed out.
There he goes.
Yeah.
Now Christ comes.
Again. Yeah.
Offering faith unto all by raising him from among the dead.
How simple is this testimony?
Yeah.
But people go on to foreign countries and say, we have three gods, but only one God, and Jesus came down to earth as God in the flesh. And people are like, whoa, especially Jews. That's blasphemy. Even Muslims, that's blasphemy. I mean, it's just, where's the God of Abraham?
Yeah.
And, you know, there is no God of Abraham. There's gods of Abraham now. I mean, so it's just blasphemy. And so the whole book of Acts is the same story. Yahweh and Yahushua. Now we go to Acts 28, kind of the end of the book. And here's what we end up seeing. You know, Paul's whole life is trying to open the eyes of the heathens and open the eyes of the Hebrews, as his eyes were opened. And so 28, verse 23, and having arranged with him a day, they came unto him. He's in Rome, and he's telling everybody to come in. He's going to tell them about what's going on, so they're coming in to lodge in a larger number, unto whom he proceeded to expound, bearing full witness to the kingdom of Yahweh, and persuading them concerning Yahushua, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. So here it is. The best guy out there laying it out to very informed people who know the Torah and the Tanakh. So the Tanakh is the Old Testament. The Torah is the five books. The Pentateuch, you know, that's a Greek word for five Hebrew books. I mean, so we're so messed up. Genesis is a Greek word for a Hebrew book. Mm-hmm. How did we get to this place? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some indeed were persuaded by the things that were spoken, whereas others disbelieved, and not being agreed among themselves, they began to leave, Paul having said one thing. Well did the Holy Spirit speak through Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers, saying, go thy way unto this people, and say, ye shall surely hear, and yet will in no wise understand, and surely see, and yet will in no wise perceive. For the heart of this people, that's the whole issue. When somebody will not open their eyes or their ears, it's the heart. The heart of this people hath become dense, and with their ears heavily have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their heart should understand and return, when I would certainly heal them. Be it known unto you, therefore, that unto the nations have been set forth this salvation of Yahweh, they will also hear. And he abode 2 whole years in his own hired house, and made welcome all who were coming in unto him, proclaiming the kingdom of Yahweh, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Yahushua Christ, with all freedom of speech, without hindrance. It sounds like he had a pretty good ending, doesn't it? What does tradition say happened to Paul?
Burned upside down.
Yeah, boiled or burned or something horrendous. Every apostle went through some horrendous torture of some kind, and that's supposed to be good.
Supposed to be a martyr.
Yeah, this is like good. On the contrary, forget those traditions. I look at this, he went unhindered. And even in Timothy, it says, "In the Lord who has saved me will protect me all my life."
Mm-hmm.
And if he died some horrific death, then that wasn't true.
Forget
these traditions of, I think, Peter or somebody, I want to be crucified upside down, and it's just all boiled in oil, and anything horrible, and that's supposed to be godly for some reason. Well, that is somebody who Father did not deliver.
Right. And there are people.
Yeah,
there
that's
are
right.
That happen.
That's right. Sometimes they're in the wrong place, but it doesn't something that Father delighted him.
Glorify it.
Yeah.
And so when people will say, here, go back to verse 25, they're going to say, aha, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit speaks through Isaiah the prophet. Let's see what spoke through Isaiah the prophet. We'll go to Isaiah 1. We're going to go to 648 in the Old Testament. 648, Elijah. Don't look at him. 648.
Hide on your own paper.
Yeah,
don't cheat off me.
Yeah.
Chapter what?
1:2. Chapter 1, verse 2. And it's all the way through here. We know there are inherent difficulties in the New Testament. And there's different idioms. We know Yahweh is never used in the New Testament. We know Yahushua is not used in the New Testament. We know Isaiah is not Isaiah, it's Isaiah's. We know Jeremiah is not Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah's.
Isn't it Joshua?
And Joshua is Jesus. And we know all these things. We know Hades is not Sheol, which is just fine. So when it says the Holy Spirit said, very simply here, let's see who spoke to Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for who has spoken?
Yahweh.
Yahweh has spoken.
Yeah.
Let's go to chapter 6, Isaiah. That's who he's quoting. Chapter 6, verse 1. Well, this is going to be too long. I don't have much time. Verse 8. Let's just go down to here, and people can go back to that. Then heard I the voice of my Lord, or Adonai, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. Then he said, go and say unto this people, hear on, but do not discern, see on, but do not perceive. And so here's he's quoting what was just quoted in Acts 28.
Yeah, explain that.
Pardon me?
People might not understand.
Yeah, I just don't have a whole lot of time. I want to do some other things. I have to go through that. Chapter 29, or let's go to Isaiah 38:4.
Mm-hmm. 38.
38, verse 4.
32.
We're going to see something else that's very important. And if somebody wants to read verse 4, Elijah. 38, verse 4.
Therefore, I will turn thee about and I'll...
Chapter 38.
Oh.
You're in the New Testament.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep. Wrong page.
Oh.
That's all right. Go ahead, Melania.
Oh.
632.
Okay, never mind. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Isaiah, saying, then came the word of Yahweh. Then said, then came Yahweh. It said, then came what?
The word
of Yahweh. And what's the word of Yahweh doing?
Speaking.
Well, how can the word speak?
Personification.
Yeah, so we're looking at, this is a very, very, simple idiom and personification that's all the way through. So I'm going to show you verses where it goes to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everything. The word of Yahweh came saying. The problem that's happened right now is the NIV and the New Living Translation have removed all that. So, instead of saying, in every one of these verses, instead of saying the word of Yahweh came saying, the New Living Translation says, then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. The New Living NIV says, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, period. And never says came saying.
Mm-hmm.
So So they remove the idiom, which is a Hebrew idiom. And so because the word of Yahweh came saying doesn't mean there's another entity called the word of Yahweh.
Right.
Then we have Yahweh came saying. We have a cloud that says. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, we have from a voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Well, that's the cloud God.
The donkey,
Balaam, and just on and on and on. So let's just get real. This, and so it says Holy Spirit. Fine, who is that? That is Yahweh. And speaking either through an invisible force, which is Holy Ruach is, or it's an idiom of some kind, very simply. But for people to see that, the word of Yahweh came saying, I'm going to list the verses. In Genesis 15:1, Abram. 1 Samuel 15:10, Samuel. 2 Samuel 7:4, Nathan. 1 Kings 6:11, Solomon. 1 Kings 18:1, Elijah. 2 Kings 24, Isaiah. And one of the last books, Zechariah. Let's just finish up the Old Testament. Zechariah 8:18. A second to the last book in the Old Testament. So you have Matthew, and then going left, you have Malachi, Zechariah. Old Testament.
Let's drop it down.
8:18. So a person needs to grab hold of these and see the beauty of it. And for God's sakes, don't use an NIV Bible. And you got John Lynn and John Shainite reading out of these things to people. No wonder they're going to get messed up. All right, these beautiful idioms and personifications are completely lost. And the genders are changed from it to he, and on and on and on, and you can't trust the books. So 8:8, very simply, what's it say?
8:18.
I'm sorry. And the word of Yahweh of hosts came unto me through what?
Saying.
All right, this is just a common Hebrew idiom, and so people don't know about this. So the point is, you have to have an accurate translation. The point is, the Acts reveals who Yahushua is. Mm-hmm. He reveals the Creator who is his Father, Yahweh, who raised him from among the dead, who awoke him. And the Gospel of John is going to say, I'm going to raise myself up. Yahushua is going to say, well, that's got to reconcile this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, that can't be because Yahweh raised him up. All right, so we got to say, okay, what's this book about John? What's the whole thing about John that we have to look at? So John brings all this figurative information, and people, by taking it literal, have just created a whole new doctrines. And one example, he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's in John. Well, nobody takes that literal.
Yeah.
Right. Right in that same chapter, he says, I came down from heaven because I'm the bread of life. Well, they take that literal, and then I'm not going to take this literal. Of course he didn't come down from heaven. All right? He's the bread of life because he is the Word
personified
because he did the Father's work. What's it in Acts? It says, did Jesus do the works? No. Acts said, who did the works? God. Let's just go back there. Everybody's kind of puzzled. Let's go back to Acts 2 again.
I don't know.
We got a very simple. We got to say, who did the works?
Acts what?
Chapter 2. Probably 22. I don't think we were quite around there, but he's explaining Yahushua. Yeah, okay, read with boldness, Melania.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Yahushua,
Nazarene,
a man pointed out of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him.
What's that say again?
Which God did through him.
How much simpler can this be? Which Yahweh. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He didn't say God was Christ reconciling the world. Yahushua was the image of God. And we say Jesus was God. Let's just remove the word image. You know, He is the exact representation. No, he is Yahweh. And so now the world says he is Yahweh. It was just absolutely, if even people stoop to that, they just disregard the whole book of Acts. What Paul and Peter were teaching people who knew Yahushua firsthand about what actually happened. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got to get the same thing too, and we're not. It's not going to be popular. It's going to be hedonistic. We're going to be the outcast. So be it. So problem. I mean, what did they do with Paul? They stoned him. They beat him. You know, until I get to that point where I've been beaten, rods and shipwrecked, and who's it all done from religious people?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get up with it. Get some courage and not be cowardness. And so with Timothy, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel."
Amen.
He said, "Yahweh has not given us a spirit of not fear, it's cowardness."
Yeah.
All right, I can be afraid of something is one thing because I'm caught off guard, but being coward means I'm afraid to do something that I know I should be doing.
Right.
All right, so the spirit of cowardness, but the power and the love and the sound mind. So over and over he's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. Why would he have to say don't be ashamed? Because Timothy has a tendency to be ashamed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, very simply, if somebody says be proud, and obviously you're thinking the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm not proud, I'm ashamed. Why? Because everybody else is against you, and everybody else is saying you're wrong, and people are saying you're a heretic. And look at your boss; he's in prison. That's where he belongs.
Yeah.
And you're against Moses and the law, and he's making up as they go. Okay.
Yeah, we think we got it bad.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and close with prayer. And if somebody want to close with prayer, and then I'll have a prophecy.
Sure. I'd like to close with prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Daddy, Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. For your word and for reminding us that we are running a race and one day we will kneel before your son Yehoshua, our Mashiach, the Christ. We thank you that if we choose to only bow to you, only bow our knees to you and your son, we will be rewarded. But if we choose to cower like Aaron did or other people did or even Timothy might have been feeling like bowing down to some false gods or doctrines, we thank you for reminding us that one day we will be going before Christ. And we thank you for reminding us that when we choose not to bow before men or pagans or golden calves or sun gods or think Mother Earth or Mother Nature, we know that we will be rewarded. We thank you for just helping us to stay loyal to you, to stay faithful to you. We're supposed to live for you, not bow our knees to the doctrines of men because we'll be ostracized. We thank you that even if we are put out of a place like the man born blind, we know that we'll have fellowship with you. We don't need the fellowship of man. We don't need what Aaron had. We want what Moses wanted. We want to see your glory, and that's what counts. And just as Adam chose his wife and the fellowship of his wife over you, we thank you for us learning from those mistakes and saying, we want to choose you. And we thank you for the people that are in our lives being able to watch us not bow down and say, these people don't cower. What's going on? Why don't they cower? Well, it's because we are running our race in a way in which to win, remembering that one day we will kneel before Yehoshua. We bow to one God and one Lord. And we thank you for the words we're about ready to hear.
Amen.
Yeah, Father, we also thank for, like the apostles did, for more boldness that we may speak your word with all sincerity and truth. Thank you for these words. And my sons and my daughters, as you walk in this life and as you put on the mantle of righteousness that my son has paid the price for, put it on and walk forth in righteousness, doing good deeds, which I've created you to walk in. Bring deliverance to the people I bring in contact with. You have great treasures that can set them free. So go ahead and speak my word, and I will give you the information that you need to make their lives better, to bring deliverance and cut the shackles from their lives as I have unshackled you. So walk forth courageously and without fear and apprehension, knowing that I will reward you, and I am rewarding you every day, regardless of what it appears to be around you. Amen.